and we go to sit down at the table where I commence to chowing down like a county mule. This, if you don't know what that means, it's a country hick term for I ate a lot, okay? And so there we were, I'm sitting down, eating my heart's content, and I realize something. My plate is getting desperately low of meatballs. So I didn't have to think twice. I got up to my feet and I ran towards the buffet to put another dollop of meatballs on my plate. And I'm carrying my plate and we're going, and I'm going to sit down and I'm smiling and I'm just so excited because I have these awesome meatballs on my plate. And Christine looks at me, my monitor of meatball intake, that's her right there. She goes, "John, you are not going to eat 16 meatballs." And I'm like, what I didn't know is that previously she had counted the number of meatballs on my plate. And I'm like, what is this? I was angry on the inside, but on the outside I was pouting. I was like, fine, and I put my fork down. I was upset, I was done, you know. So, you know, she got up to go get her another plate, and when she wasn't looking, I snuck a meatball in my mouth. And when she came back, she was laughing hysterically at me. She goes, "You are the most pathetic man. You're weak. You need help." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "I know you snuck a meatball." Well, guys, tonight I want to talk about hunger. And the topic or the title of my message tonight is called God, I'm Hungry. Somebody say, God, I'm Hungry.
God, I'm Hungry.
And our key scripture reference is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, which simply says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." What is it that you hunger for here tonight? And I'm not talking about that Sally Struthers, you know, on the streets in the slums of Guatemala feeding the children kind of hunger. I'm talking about the type of hunger that drives you to your knees in desperation for God. What is it here that you are desperate for in your life? Well, tonight I want to talk about some individuals. Two individuals in one large group that were hungry and desperate for God to do something amazing in their life. Our first story comes from Genesis. And we're not going to read all these scriptures because this is really, really long. Genesis 27 through 35. I encourage you to read this on your own. It's going to take some time, but it's great. This man's story that we're going to talk about, Jacob, the deceiver. You know, this man's life is messed up. You know, it's like if you were watching it on TV, if they were going to put it on TV, it'd be on a Jerry Springer episode or Mari Povich. You know, those types where they're like, "I'm not the father, you're the father." And, you know, this dude has 11 screaming kids. And he's like, he's got two wives, two. The first one he married, he didn't even want. You know? It's like he grew up in the back hills of Arkansas somewhere. I'm sorry. But it's true. This dude's life was jacked up. Okay? And so here he is. He stole his brother's blessing from his father. And Esau was angry. He was wanting to kill this guy. He's like, you know, "Don't get in my way, I'm gonna kill you." You know, he was gonna get jacked up. And scholars say that Esau was a redhead. It's true. Redheads are known to have really bad anger problems, okay? Not me, I've dealt with my anger, it's okay. Okay? So here you have this really big Irish Jewish guy, and He's just angry because his brother Jacob stole his inheritance and his father's blessing. It was supposed to be passed down to the firstborn, which was Esau. Okay? So here we are, and Jacob is about to send his family across the river Jabbok with a great portion of his herds and all of his flocks. He's got camels and horses and chickens, whatever. And he sends them across the river with 11 screaming kids. Daddy, where are we going? Where are we going? Are we there yet? And then he's like, just go. Go see your Uncle Esau. And so they're going across. And here Jacob is in that alone place. And the Bible says that he was alone. And I'm thinking, he's there thinking about what's going to happen to his family. Am I ever going to see them again? He's sitting on a rock, feeling sorry for himself. And then all of a sudden, he's like, God, what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, wham, he gets knocked off of his rock. And he's wrestling with this dude. He can't even tell who he is, but it's the angel of the Lord. And he struggles with this, with the angel of the Lord from nightfall to daybreak. That's a long time to be wrestling. It's like WWF, you know, SmackDown. You know, it's like, it's crazy. And the Lord finally gets tired of it. He's like, are you done yet? And all of a sudden the Lord, you know, kind of pats him on the bottom. He's like, good game. And, from that little smack on the bottom, Jacob, his hip is forever bruised because of that moment. And he's like hobbling along and he's like, I am not going to quit till I get my blessing. Finally, the Lord says, I'm glad you're enjoying this. Finally, the Lord says, what is your name? My name's Jacob. He's like, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, which means one who strives with God. Tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. And it feels like sometimes you're struggling and you're wrestling with things you don't even know. But have you ever thought that maybe you're wrestling with the Lord and he's just waiting to see how hungry you are for your blessing? You know, we give the devil way too much credit. Sometimes we think we're wrestling him. And he's like, hey, I don't even have to do anything. And you're like giving me all the credit here. But sometimes I think we're wrestling with the Lord and he's just, you know, he's standing back. He's like, how bad do you want your blessing? So that's our first story. Our next story comes to us from the book of Mark, chapter 5, which is my all-time favorite story. And it talks about this woman who has lived with this sickness and this disease for over 12 years. And the Bible calls it, what she has, it's an issue of blood. It's almost like a hemorrhage. And she's weak. She's been to doctors and spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And there's nothing they could do for her. She's just sitting back and she's waiting to die. And she's sick of being sick. She's tired of being tired. And she, all of a sudden, she hears through the grapevine that Dr. Jesus is in town and he's not using scalpels or syringes or any kind of medical ability. He's using the spoken word. He's using his own hand to heal people, to fix people, to fix the broken things in their lives. And she's like, okay, if I can just get into town, you know, he doesn't even have to speak to me. He doesn't even have to touch me. If I could just get in there somehow and just touch the hem of his garment, then I know I'll be healed. So she gets ready. She goes into town the next day. She has on her best clothes, but already her clothes are already being soaked with blood. And it's like each step gets weaker and weaker. And finally, she's standing in this big crowd. She sees a mountain of impossibilities before her, standing in the way between her and her miracle. And she has this tenacity rise up within her. This spirit, almost like a raging bull in her, saying, I have got to get through to my miracle. So I can see her. She's stretching. She's popping her neck. And she goes for it. She's like, get out of my way, devil of sickness. Get out of my way, devil of hell. I am going through to my miracle. And she steps and reaches and touches the hem of the master's garment. And at that moment, the Bible says that her illness, her sickness, was completely dried up. Which is a miracle because the doctors could do nothing for her. And at that moment, Jesus is looking around and he's like, who touched me? And I'm like, duh, Jesus. There are hundreds of people touching you. She didn't just touch him. She touched him with her faith. The greatest thing that she had. She's like, I can't do this on my own. The doctors couldn't do anything for me. I know this man can touch me and heal me. If I could just press through and get to my miracle, I know I will be healed if I touch his garment. And she did. You're here tonight, and you're struggling with sickness and disease. I believe the Lord is going to touch you. I myself have struggled for the last 2 weeks with a cough. I had flu-like symptoms. I had a massive abscess tooth in my mouth. I was in a lot of pain. Last night I had a 100.5 fever. I was cold. I couldn't get warm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not letting anything stand in my way of getting my miracle, getting my blessing. You know, I may not have the victory right now, but I'm taking the victory that I'm going to have, and I'm waving it in the enemy's face. And I'm like, look what Jesus did for me. And you're going down, sucker. There's an old song that we used to sing in my home church, and it just simply says, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I feel the Lord in this place, and I know he's walking up and down the aisles, and he's looking for anybody who he can touch. Will you reach out and touch the Lord tonight? Our last story comes to us from the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts because of Pentecost. And Pentecost is still going on today. The book of Acts is still being lived out today. And the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that is not finished. I don't know if you knew that. But it's like we're carrying on the book of Acts. We're writing the pages of the book of Acts still. Okay? In the book of Acts, the disciples were given a mandate to stay in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Let me turn that real quick. Is anybody enjoying this tonight? He said, stay in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And then we pick up with verse 8. And it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I looked up the word power in the Greek, and the word is dunamis. And it's the same word that we use for the word dynamite. And it is literally explosive ability. He says, "But ye shall receive the explosive ability of God to be my witnesses." It's not just so that we could sit soaking sour in our pews as God's frozen chosen and do nothing. We just come here and we sing our song, we lift our hands, and all that is good and great. But what are we doing after that? We're going home, we're getting in our cars, and we're just souring. You know, he calls us to go into the workplace. He calls us to go into the grocery stores and the cleaners and take the gospel wherever you go. And we pick up at chapter 2. Before that, they're meeting in an upper room, you know, conducting some official church business. They're about to vote in another member because Judas, you know what happened to him. You know, all that, you know, he sold the Lord and for 20 pieces of silver, and then he felt bad about it, so he committed suicide, and now there's only 11 disciples, so they had to vote in another one. So that's what they're doing. They vote in Matthias, and in the upper room, there is 120 people, including the mother of Jesus, and they're sitting there. What is that? That is not what he said. So, they are in the upper room, and they are waiting for the power. And they're like, "God, what is this power supposed to look like when it comes in?" And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And then suddenly, somebody say, "Then suddenly." I believe we're going to have a "then suddenly" moment with God here tonight. I think he's wanting to do the impossible in our lives tonight. "And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is crazy. I mean, they're all up there and they're just sitting in the presence of the Lord. And then all of a sudden this wind, like a tornado, comes in and it just messes up their entire lives for the better. And on top of them, it says there were like tongues of fire sitting on them, and they began to speak in languages that they didn't even know. They were probably speaking like Chinese and Japanese and English because they didn't speak English. You know, we think they speak English because their Bible's written in English for us, but they didn't speak English. They were speaking Hebrew and Aramaic and all this. And, you know, they're up here like, "Oh, Peter, you know, this is awesome." And they're speaking in English and, you know, "Would you like a spot of tea or something?" And, just had to throw that in there. And the power of God, the dunamis of God, the dynamite power of God hits them. And they don't even know what they're doing, you know? So the day of Pentecost is a feast. It's the feast of first fruits. And everybody in the world, or the known world at that time, came together to celebrate this big feast. And you had people from, you know, probably China or, you know, Russia and all these places. And you hear all these people in the upper room and they're speaking their language, Russian and Japanese, and telling forth the greatness of God and the glory of God. And it says in the Bible that thousands came to the Lord, came into the church. We need that power today. I am so sick of hearing about what the church did years ago. I want to see what God is doing for us today. I'm sick of hearing about the great revivals. I want revival today. In my home church, it was a great church. It's a dying church now because they're set in their ways and they don't want to do anything different. You know, we sang all the great hymns and, you know, we had Jericho marches and, you know, tambourines and little old ladies screaming in the pews, and it was awesome. It was mass chaos. You know, it was like, it was wonderful. And I saw so many miracles in that church. There was this lady, her name was Dr. Adonna Otwell. I don't know if anybody knows her, but she is amazing. There was this one time we were praying for this man. He had his larynx removed because he had throat cancer. And if you know anything about anybody who's had their larynx removed, they can't talk. You can't understand a word they're saying. But this man, his name's Larry, he came to the altar that night, gave his heart to the Lord, received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues, and you can actually hear the guy. That in itself was a miracle, okay? And this woman, she doesn't even have to lay hands on you. She just speaks the word and you're healed. I mean, it's crazy. And I want that same power tonight. I am hungry for that power tonight. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. For the right things of God, the moral things of God, right standing with God. Blessed are they that hunger for these things, for they shall be filled. There, I love reading about church history, about the old church fathers and like Martin Luther, Thomas Aquinas, Justin Martyr. And this story that I read said that Justin Martyr and one of the cardinals of the church, the early church fathers, were walking up the steps of one of the great cathedrals. And all of a sudden they came in contact with a beggar, and he was lame. And he couldn't move unless he was just holding out a cup for, you know, an offering. And, you know, this dude's yelling out, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And the cardinal reaches in his little pouch, pulls out a bag of coins, and gives it to him. And he's like, you know what, Justin? Talking to, you know, his little comrade here. He's like, Justin, we can no longer say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas Aquinas said, and neither can we say, rise up and walk. That statement really hurt me because it's like we've just given up on the power and presence of God. We don't have the power enough to say, rise up and walk and be healed, take up your bed and walk, you know, run, because we don't have the power anymore. Tonight I'm hungry for that power. Tonight I'm hungry for my blessing. Tonight I'm hungry for my healing. I don't know what you're hungry for. Stephen, if you'll come up, please. I don't know what you came in here expecting. But God is expecting amazing things in here tonight. I feel the presence and power of God in here in a mighty way. Sure, we had fun, and that's okay. We can have fun and be in the presence of God too, okay? What are you hungry for? What are you starving for? What are you believing God for in your life today? Leader's Edge, I got a chance to talk to Brother Gritzmacher a couple nights ago, who is the missionary to Southern California, and we had the awesome privilege of hearing him. And he said, John, I know and I see your hunger. I see you're hungry for Ireland, and I see your hunger to reach these people. But before you get there, I want you to be so full of the miraculous. I want you to be so full of the miraculous, because people don't care about how much you know about the Bible. They don't. They don't care about how much you can preach, how well you can speak. They want to see something. They want to see something real. I want to see God do real thing, but things that'll last. I want to invite everybody to the altars tonight. Leaders Edge, Dominion Church, I want everybody to the altars tonight. And I want us to get hungry. If we're not hungry, let's get hungry. Because we're sitting at the table of the presence of the Lord, and He says, I have this big table full of blessing. What is it that you need? What is it that you want more than ever? Not your greeds, your needs. What is it that you need here tonight? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Power of God flow, power of God flow.
Turn it back.